the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
Welcome into Walk It Off. I have Jeff Nelson here with me, an impressive human, a World Series champion four times, an all-star. Yes. You work for MLB.com. You talk for a living and people listen to you.
Really?
And I think they like what you have to say.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
So I'm
I didn't talk too much in high school, so maybe I'm making up for it.
Well, we're going to talk now because you have stories and I always want to hear your stories.
Some of them you can't tell.
Some of them aren't appropriate, but some of them are. So first off, we're going to talk about Wade Boggs.
Okay.
And this incredible story about this, it was like a tall tale. I felt like Paul Bunyan type thing.
Right.
Him drinking beers, and it started out he had 60 beers, and then it went to 107 beers. And I
107?
107.
Wow.
Is
that's
the
like
truth?
The fish? No.
Tell me the story about
not
Wade
100.
Boggs
well,
and
I mean, this guy, he drinks the light beer. He loves it. He loves like Miller Lite.
Okay.
I think one time, well, I know, one time from the East Coast. See, when we were the Yankees, we didn't, it was a year before I was there. But, the years I was there with him, he did the same thing. But we used to have a charter flight that went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And for some reason, it didn't make it the whole way. So we had to stop in, like, Kansas City for, you know, fuel.
Okay.
And we always got pizza. It seemed like Domino's Pizza would be delivering. And we also had to have more beer on the plane.
More beer.
There was a time that they counted because he drank so many, and it also after the game was like 70 beers from the East Coast to the West Coast on one trip, and it's true. I mean, obviously he does get a little tipsy, but that was a thing. This guy could put it away.
He gets a little tipsy.
Well, probably a lot drunk or whatever you want to call it. But it was it's true. It doesn't make him a bad guy. I admire that. I mean, I don't think I could do it. I can't even do that in a month.
I mean,
but this guy put it away.
But players aren't doing that today.
I don't know what they're doing today. Well, they're not as good as we were. I mean, look at Wade Boggs. This guy's a Hall of Famer. He's drinking 70 beers on one trip. So maybe these guys need to do it.
That's the number?
It's 70 beers is what I heard.
Not 107.
Not 107. It started at 70. That's
the
Paul Bunyan thing. That's the 70 beers is the max. I haven't heard any number over 70. Now we're getting to 107. Now it's stretching a little bit.
All right. Well, we won't say that anymore.
No, we don't need to stretch.
Okay. Subway Series.
Yes.
How many Subway Series did you participate in? Do you know?
Oh, well, 97 was our first interleague play. And when I was with the Yankees, we always played the East. So we always, the National League East. So we were playing them quite a bit. And that was what, 97, 8, 9, 2000. Came back in 03. I think I played the Mets one time. Well, I was a Mariner. But and then in 2000 World Series. So I love the Subway Series. I think it's great because I like the interleague. You know, I'm not a fan of interleague play. At first it was cool because went to cities that I've never been to. I was an American League guy for 15 years. I never went to the National League team.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care about the National League. But we got to see some of the cities. We went to the NL East, and those stadiums back then were not exciting to go to. I mean, Shea Stadium was not good.
Okay. Just appearance-wise?
It was terrible. The facilities were terrible. I mean, the field's always the same. I mean, you're going out and you're playing on the same field, but the locker rooms are awful. The stands are awful. Montreal, the stadium was terrible.
Yeah.
You go to Philadelphia, an old veteran stadium, terrible. I mean, we're in the bullpen, and they had the plexiglass. You couldn't even see through it because it was all scratched up. Atlanta, you go through Turner Field, and we went to both of those. When we won the World Series in 96, and then the other one, maybe, I don't know what they were, maybe both called Turner Field, who knows. But they weren't that great. I mean, if he and him, you go to Miami, and you rained out all the time because it rained around 3 or 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and you got rained out of BP. So when we were hitting the National League East, the stadiums were terrible. But it was exciting because we got to see some of the players that we've never gotten to see.
Yeah.
And for the fans, I mean, it was great for them. I mean, you're a National League guy. You get to see American League person. You get to see Sammy Sosa, mm-hmm. Barry Bonds, and Mark McGwire and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that was exciting for people. For me, it wasn't too much exciting.
So for the Subway Series, you have a couple of rings.
That was my favorite because we played the Mets. I mean, you're talking, nobody else in the baseball world cared, but when you have two cities that are big rivals, I mean, there was like three teams that Mr. Steinbrenner wanted to beat bad, and that was the Red Sox, the Tampa Rays, because he was living in Tampa from there.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he made his home, and he did all his business out of Tampa, and you had to beat the Mets. I mean, they were the same, you know, on the team in the same city. Plus, they talked a lot of trash back then. You know, they were the ones that came out when we won. When we played them in the World Series, oh, we're going to beat these guys in five. The Yankees are getting old. We did back into the playoffs
Yankees
back then.
Are getting old.
Well, we lost six in a row to get into the playoffs. So we were one of those teams, kind of like Boston this year when they lost against the Yankees, but they still get to celebrate. Well, that was us in Baltimore. We lost against the Orioles.
Is that awkward?
It's a little bit, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, however you got in, it didn't matter.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. It didn't matter now because, I mean, you know, we won the World Series. So Boston, it probably does matter because they're sitting and watching it on TV. But it was it's fun because, I mean, I collected all the Subway Series memorabilia. You go to all the sporting goods stores and stuff.
What's your favorite piece that you have?
I don't know. I mean, you have, like, little coins and things and with the Subway Series. But it's exciting. I mean, for one, the travel was great. You know, you just get in your car or you go to the Yankee Stadium and they bus you over to the other side. And it was great for Yankee fans. It was great for, I think it was great for New York. I mean, it was the most exciting time. It may never happen again.
So you mentioned Mr. Steinbrenner. And I was told that you call him Mr. Steinbrenner, which I love.
Yeah, you have to respect that guy. This guy was one of the best owners, if not the best, in baseball.
So something that people don't know about him, something that a memory you shared with him that you can share
with me. One, he was a very passionate owner. And he was a guy that when you play in the city, unlike now, it's a little bit easier because the media back then, the fans back then were a lot tougher. Old Yankee Stadium was a lot tougher to play in.
Yeah, I didn't get to go. That's one of my biggest regrets. I never saw.
Yeah, it was a tough place to play and even tougher for visitors. I mean, it was really intimidating for visiting teams to come in.
Can imagine.
Yeah, well, you had things thrown at you. I mean, you're always – I remember in 95 when I was in the playoffs against the Yankees the first time for the wild card. I mean, we won the West and the Yankees won the wild card. I'm out in the bullpen getting ready to come into the game, and guys are throwing – I mean, back then, beers were like $5, $4, and now it's through the roof. You don't throw beers.
You can't waste your beer.
I had more Budweiser on me or whatever it was coming out to pitch in the game than it was in – I mean, it was amazing. I mean, Lou Piniella was my manager, and I'm soaked with beer because they didn't have security back then. They weren't used to – I mean, the last time they were in the playoffs was in the 80s, so they had no idea. But he's such, Mr. Stein, he's such a passionate owner. He does anything you can to try to win. Mm-hmm. And plus, he tests the players. Yeah. You know, I played for Lou Piniella. So it was basically, he set me up to try to play in New York. He was a tough manager.
Yeah.
If you could play for him, you could play anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great. I loved it. But Mr. Steinberg did the same thing. I mean, he tried to make it as easy as possible for the team to win as far as putting the talent on the field. And he would test guys. He would come in. Yeah, he would come in and he would test guys. I mean, he would say things, you know, he would call you out if you're not going well. Basically, hey, I'm paying tons of money with your contract. He said, you're not showing me, you know, a bunch of different words you can't say.
Like to your face.
Oh, right in front of you. He's not shy. I mean, he's the one that owns the team. He should be able to do that. But at the same time, you have to be able to take up for yourself. Not give it back to him in a sense that you show some confidence.
Right.
Not sit there and bury him.
He probably likes to see that, right?
Well, he likes to see that. Because then he says, okay, this guy can handle it. You know, I mean, I've been around some players that crawled into a hole and they haven't had success.
Uh-huh.
But he does some, you know, he's passionate about winning. So if we're not winning, then he'll make you pay a little bit. I mean, in 2000 when we backed into the playoffs, so the teams that he wants to beat is Tampa Bay because, I mean, he's from there.
Right.
Last six games were on the road. We played three in Tampa, three in Baltimore. We got swept by the Rays. All we had to do was win one game and we automatically would have gotten into the playoffs without waiting for somebody to lose.
Yeah.
St. Petersburg is not Tampa. Tampa has a big Tampa International Airport and St. Petersburg has a little smaller airport. Well, we flew all out of the smaller airport and this was late at night. It's probably 1 a.m. and we're getting ready to go to Baltimore. Nobody else is flying out. I mean, he kept us on the runway because we lost. He kept us on. He has. This is how much power he has. He kept us on the runway for like 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours.
Sitting
there, and he wouldn't allow anybody to drink any alcohol. There was no food. There was nothing. Now, the stewardesses, we knew because we had the same ones basically all the time. They would give, they would secretly, give us a little bit. But, you know, that's just the kind of power this guy had. You know, he didn't like, old Yankee Stadium. It was his parking lot. There was very few spaces for people to park. And he didn't like, if you didn't have a reason to be in there, get out.
Uh-huh.
And he would be like the security guy sometimes and checking people's, parking passes because he didn't want guys in there. It was just, It was his way of being able to control the atmosphere. And he's the best owner that obviously I've ever had, but I think the best owner that I've ever seen in baseball.
That's awesome. That's a good story.
Yeah, that's good. There's many more, but others that probably aren't as
appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, he was a guy that had you look at 98, we win 125 games total. We come back the next year, you're thinking of, you have the same team.
Right.
He mixes it up. Next thing you know, we got Roger Clemens, David Wells goes, Graham Lloyd goes. And it's like, we just won 125 games. Why can't we come back and do it again?
Right.
Well, I'm going to mix it up and I'm going to throw some other guys in there. And we win in 99. So here's a guy that always wants to make the team better. He has a sense that, this guy's not going too well, or I don't feel like he can make it in New York.
Yeah.
So we're going to get rid of him. But if you look, we had the 96 reunion this past year.
Right.
And you don't realize what kind of team that you had until you're sitting out there on the mound. And you're looking at all these guys after they call you, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we had studs on this team.
Uh-huh.
No wonder we won.
Right.
And you look back now, I mean, baseball's different. Baseball's different from now to when we played.
Definitely. We are about to break down the ALCS with the Blue Jays and the Indians. The first game is on Friday. And, Nelly, you have a little bit of postseason experience. Let's see. You played in 55 games over 15 years, a 2.65 ERA, and you only gave up 4 home runs.
Really?
Yeah.
In the postseason?
Did you know that?
I didn't think it was that many.
That's what it says online, Nelly.
Really?
I know. And you have 4 championship rings.
Yes.
So we're going to.
Got lucky.
Lucky. Yeah, yes. That's all it was. Just luck.
Yeah.
Timing, luck, a little bit of athletic ability.
Maybe. Timing and luck was good. I was in the right place at the right time.
So you're the man for the job then.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about the starters. We're going to talk about the bullpen and the 5-out save, this magical cool kids thing that's going on. And then what you think about the series as a whole.
Okay,
cool. So let's start with Marco Estrada. He's throwing for the Jays. He went 8 1/3 in his postseason game. What do you like about him? How is he going to win the game?
Well, I mean, you have the hitters from Cleveland. They're a very scrappy bunch. They don't strike out a whole lot.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of power on their team as well, but they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, you saw them in the one inning during the division series where they hit 3 balls out.
Right.
So you always have to be careful, but they play, Terry Francona has these guys playing the right way, and they play small ball. They play, this is a squad that you, as a pitcher,
it's
you really can't,
team,
yeah, you
right?
really can't let up on. There's not, you take a power hitting team like the Blue Jays, and in some ways they're easier to pitch to because they're free swingers.
Yeah.
And if you get them in the right counts, you can really use that to your advantage. With the Indians, it's a little bit different because they're so scrappy and they put the ball in play. So that's one thing that Estrada's really got to, be aware of. But the thing that they this starting rotation, you take Estrada, you take Stroman. These guys have been there last year.
Yeah.
And that's key for them.
That's a big deal.
It's
is
huge
that?
Because it's experience.
Right.
You look at Stroman, everybody had a big deal of him starting that wild card. Well, I like the idea that he started the wild card game because you look like what he did last year. This guy stepped up. He's a big game pitcher. He might have not had a great season.
Right.
The number one season.
What
everybody
does that
thought
matter
there was
going.
I know, but when you're labeled an ace, you're supposed to come out after having a great postseason. You better be a guy that wins 20 games or wins 15 for your team.
Yeah,
and he wasn't able to do that. But as far as big game, he didn't let the atmosphere, I guess, get too big. He didn't let the game get too big.
I think Estrada,
is in a way, but he was able to, dial that in. And I think Estrada is the same way. You look at Sanchez. Sanchez, this guy could be up for a Cy Young and really struggle in the division series.
Yeah.
I mean, he pitched out of the bullpen last year.
Right.
This year he's a starter.
He earned that spot this year.
Well, he did because he was outstanding.
Right.
This is a guy that had to watch his innings and did all this other stuff. But you have a guy that is coming in and maybe he has learned from his last start.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I got to try to treat this just like the regular season. And you do. You can't make it any bigger than what it's supposed to be, even though everybody's watching. It's do or die all the time. But you can't make it any different than a regular season. And I think with Stroman and Estrada, they have been able to – I guess in some sense they say slow the game down.
Right.
You slow your emotions down and you don't make it like you're living and dying on every single pitch.
Is there? Can you only do that like mentally? Like, how does somebody?
Well, you have to do it mentally.
Right.
I mean, you
but
have
is
to.
Is there like something you can do? Like, you step off the mound. Like, make sure you're doing something.
No, you do it in your preparation. You right. do it. I mean, these guys do it before they. I mean, once they wake up in the morning, you can't. Yeah. Oh, hey, this is a playoff game. But you know, at the same time, you got to. You got to treat it like it's a regular season game. You can't. Like for a hitter, you can't hit a grand slam when there's nobody on base, and you can't strike out the side with one pitch. And some of the guys do that. I mean, you have MVP guys that just stink during the postseason because they think that, okay, the limelight's on me. You know, during the regular season, you just have your local market and whoever you're playing watching.
Right.
Now you have the rest of the world watching, and people put a lot of pressure on themselves, and you shouldn't. And I think the guys that don't put the pressure on themselves, that just try to treat it as best as they can as a regular game, wind up having success. And when, I mean, we're at the Yankees, everybody did that. We played an atmosphere that was, you know, every single game
electric.
Was magnified.
Yeah.
And so once we got to the playoffs, it wasn't a big deal. It was like, well, you know, we played our whole 162 games the same way.
I actually never really thought about that, fact that you guys already had that.
Yeah, we already had it. So, I mean, everywhere we went was you know, we had just sometimes in some of the cities as many Yankee fans as we did, you know, their home, the visiting team that we went to or the home team. But these guys now, like Estrada, you know, you have a guy, Gibbons could have easily went to Stroman. He chose not to. And, you know, now Estrada can pitch in game one and game five. And he's a perfect guy. He's not overpowering. He doesn't have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. He throws a lot of strikes. He mixes it up, got a good changeup, good breaking ball. And when you have – and that's what you need against the Indians. You don't want to give those guys a chance because they're very aggressive on the bases. You don't want to give them free passes. You don't want to give them a chance to get on base and make things happen. You need guys that are strike throwers. And Estrada is probably their best guy besides Sanchez. Sanchez, you know, could go in game two or three and you still have him at the end. They have a very good rotation.
And so the Indians are countering with Corey Kluber. That came out on Wednesday. And he started game two of the ALDS.
Mm-hmm.
So – one, why is he going over Trevor Bauer? And two, what do you like about him? He went seven innings too, seven strikeouts.
Yeah. You got to go into Toronto and your best chance to split a series in Toronto the first two games, or actually it's going to be in Cleveland.
Yeah,
you want to try to get off on top, and your best guy is Bauer. Your best guy is Kluber.
Yeah,
and I mean he's a Cy Young Award winner. You know, he had another great year. He's healthy. You know, even though he was struggling a little bit with health at the end of the year, he proved that, you know, he's got the stuff to be able to go deep in the game. And plus, he can handle Bauer. This is his first time.
Yeah.
You know, he did okay during the division series.
During the season.
Yeah,
as
in
well.
The beginning of the year, he didn't make the rotation. But Kluber's your best guy. Kluber's the best guy to be able to start out a series to try to decide who's going to go and represent the American League in the World Series. And he's the guy you have to go with. You know, he's a guy that could possibly pitch 1-5. I doubt, you know, sometimes you'll have starters to be able to throw three in a game, in a seven-game series. I don't know if he would be able to do that. But the thing with Francona, their starting rotation is not nearly as good as the Blue Jays.
Right.
Because they lost Carrasco and Salazar.
But does that matter? I mean, they swept.
It does matter because a short series, you can get away with it. Now you're playing a seven-game series. A seven-game series, usually the best team winds up coming out on top. When you go through, you look at the Giants, they played well at the end. You look at the Blue Jays, like rolled into the playoffs, won the wild card, won the division series. Rangers had that time off. They got swept.
Yeah.
You know, so usually once you get to a seven-game series, you'll see the best team. You know, that's why the Cubs panicked. I mean, if they went to a five-game, they may have wound up losing against the Giants. But they wound up getting that. They can breathe a little bit because that's the toughest series to try to win three out of five.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
With a seven-game series, you can make a mistake here and there, and you still have seven games. You know, you don't have that luxury in a five-game series. Usually the best team wins. And with the best rotation, the Blue Jays have the best rotation. You know, I would say they would probably be more of a favorite.
And so something we talked about this, the five-out save, like, has just been taking over. You got Kenley Jansen, Cody Allen, Roberto Osuna. These guys are being called on to do a little bit more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? Is that a good thing? Should they?
Well, it's because their setup guys are terrible. That's why you have to have your closer throw, you know, more than five out or three outs. The Indians have a better bullpen than Blue Jays. So Osuna, you know, if he can do it, you're going to have to watch because you do have a seven-game series. So you can't be throwing these guys – you know, 4 and 5 outs all the time. You can't throw Ozuna 5 outs and 4 outs. You're going to have a guy down the bullpen, a couple guys down the bullpen to be able to pick up some slack and be able to get some outs in that 7th and 8th inning. You know, with the Indians, they're, besides Kluber, their starters aren't guys, Tomlin and Bauer in that division series. They're not going to give you any more than 5 innings. So if you can get a starter to try to go deeper, like, you know, give you 7 or 8, then you got health in that game number 2. You have the off day, and then you go into game 3. So the Indians have a luxury because Andrew Miller can go 2 innings.
Right.
You have Otero. You have Shaw. If you can keep Allen, Allen's not that great. I mean, he didn't struggle a little bit in that game 3.
You think he was shaking?
It was. I mean, his knees were knocking. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you can limit him to the 3 outs, I mean, that's great. And I think the same thing with Ozuna. You don't have a lot of guys that are Mariano Rivera that can give you 4 and 5 outs, and it doesn't faze him one bit.
Right.
A lot of times, I mean, you look at Chapman with the Cubs. There's no way you're getting six outs out of this guy. And Madden tried to do it. It didn't work out. And he'll know that, hey, I got to limit him. If I can get 4 outs, that might be the max. Other than that, it's 3. But, you know, sometimes your setup guys, it's not like Kansas City like last year or the last couple of years. You don't have the, you know, 7th, 8th inning guys. I mean, you need to get more out of your closer.
Do you think that baseball should look into that more? Like, teams should be doing – because I remember teams were looking at the Royals as a model, right, their bullpen for what they were doing. And I don't know if any team has been successful at doing that. Maybe the Indians, now they've got Miller, Shaw, and Allen, but that wasn't really happening during the regular season.
Well, when you don't have great starters, you got to figure out a way to shorten the game.
Yeah.
And the Indians have found that right now, but they didn't have to when they had Carrasco and Salazar.
Right.
They were able to get innings. But – no, teams have tried. I mean, you try to model yourself because the 100 pitch count. Everybody, once they get 100 pitches, they want to get out of the game.
What do you think about the 100 pitch count?
I mean, it's
count?
Ridiculous. These guys train to pitch 100 games. I mean, 100 pitches, and that's it. They're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's ridiculous because, you know, when I played, out of 15 years, there was one guy that had Tommy John. One guy on my team that had Tommy John. And that was it. I mean, we had Randy Johnson, David Cohn. These guys were throwing 115 to 125 pitches, and they were going deep in the game. There was no such thing as pitch counts. There was also no such thing as, okay, you don't throw 3 and 4 days in a row. I mean, as a reliever, we were throwing 3 and sometimes 4 days in a row. These guys barely throw 2 days in a row.
Right.
So it definitely has changed, maybe because of the money, maybe because of, you know, arm injuries or trying to watch a little bit. But I don't like it because guys just gear themselves and they look up at the scoreboard and, oh, I got 98 pitches. I got 2 more and I'm done. And that's it.
So where does that start? I mean, obviously we see, like, you know, kids are playing baseball at a much younger, not necessarily at a much younger age, but they're throwing
more,
They're throwing more. And so then that, like, is a trickle up effect.
Yeah.
And when they get higher up, they're on these counts and they're having Tommy John surgery in high school and middle school and way too early. So, I mean, like, how do you reverse it? Like, what did you do?
Well, we didn't have year round sports. We had year round sports. We didn't have sports that went, you know, through the whole year. We didn't have baseball all the time.
Yeah.
We didn't have football or basketball all the time. We went from sport to sport. And, you know, when I played, we played 20 games. I mean, baseball was 20 games. Now these kids are playing at 9 years old over 100 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to make rules and regulate the pitching you know, the amount of pitches that they throw in a game. So that helps. You're starting to see guys from, I guess, the first youth leagues back a couple years ago get into the minor leagues, and they're the ones that are having Tommy John.
Yeah.
And if somebody had the answer, they'd be a gazillionaire if they could figure it out. But I don't know if there's a right answer. You know, I know that guys train differently. You know, kids are bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at some of these youth kids at 11, 12 years old. These kids are like 6'2", 6'3".
There's no
way.
They're
freaking monsters, man. We weren't that big.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of things have changed. But because, and also the money. I mean, these guys are getting drafted. They're getting a boatload of money to sign, and teams are watching out. They're like, you know what, we can't throw this guy more than a certain amount of innings because we gave him $10 million to sign. So everything's different.
Steven Strasburg, right?
Yeah.
This guy
continues to get hurt.
Yes. So, question for you. As someone now on the other side of the game, you do a lot of analyzing. So, I want to know, like, what are you looking at when you're watching a guy pitch? What are you looking out for? When you see something that you like, what is something that you would see that you like? What is something that you see you don't like, or you are like, wait a second, he's throwing weird, so maybe something's off? Like, what are you watching for?
You always look. The game has changed that way, too, because and also I think the umpires have taken a lot. I mean, we used to be able to, if you look at Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens, two of my teammates that I really watched over the years to try to make myself have success in the major leagues, how did they go about how they faced hitters? And what did they do? They intimidated guys.
Yeah.
And to be able to pitch in that era, you had to be able to intimidate guys. And the only way to intimidate them, you had to throw inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to make it known to the hitters that you weren't afraid to come in there, whether to hit them, knock them off, throw in there for a strike, whatever it was. Nowadays, it's been taken away. I mean, the umpires take away the inside part of the plate. If you think, if you, anybody that throws inside, the hitters, you know, throw up their arms. They're always, you know, making a big stink of the umpire. This guy's throwing at me. Well, the umpires warn everyone, so it's taken away the inside part of the plate.
Thing?
No, it's the game that has changed. That I think the league wants to see more offense. You know, they want to try to make the strike zone a different. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a pitcher talking, so you know who knows.
No, that's yeah.
But it's you know, you look when I watch a pitcher, I watch how you, like for instance, game four with Strickland against Baez.
Okay.
You know, I'm sitting there saying, okay, I'm a reliever, setup guy, whatever. I'm coming into a game. I see a guy have such a bad swing on a breaking ball. And I have the go-ahead run at second base.
Okay.
Well, if he's having a bad swing at a breaking ball, you know, the only time I'm going to show him a fastball is maybe inside or something to get him off of my breaking ball away, so he's going to have to swing at it again.
Yeah.
Well, Strickland gives him two straight breaks. He gets him 0-2. And Baez didn't see a breaking ball afterwards. And that part, you're knocking yourself on your head against the wall. You're like, how do you not see that? And even as a catcher, Posey's such a great catcher. How does a guy not sit there and look and say, you know what, Baez had such a bad swing on a breaking ball, whether it was, okay, I'm trying to cheat on and thinking I'm guessing fastball. How do you not show him another breaking ball again? You know, how do you – you have the game on the line, you have a tie score, you're winning runs at second base, and you have a guy that is not a good breaking ball hitter, and you're going to give him another fastball, even though it's on the outside part of the plate, you gave him a chance to put the ball in play.
Yeah.
And those things drive you nuts. You know, as a pitcher, I sit there and watch. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, because it just drives you nuts. You know, doing the stuff with the Marlins.
Yeah,
I watch all these guys, and you know, it almost in some sense, I would love to be a pitching coach, but then in some sense, in the other sense, no way, because the travel, it would drive me nuts, and plus the travel's too much, and I don't want to do that. But I say, okay, I could fix these guys, or I could fix this guy. That's the part you look at. And that's the part you're like, okay, if I could just get to these guys and show them a little bit. Because, you know, for me, I wasn't blessed with the 98-mile-an-hour fastball. You always had to learn the league. I'm coming into situations that, you know, I loved getting out of and loved coming in.
Yeah.
But you learn from it, and you say, okay, I can try to teach these guys in different ways. And that's the stuff you watch. I mean, you always miss the game. You know, you can't do it anymore.
Right.
Because these guys are way too – I mean, way much more in shape than I am. And plus, I can't even, you know, forget about throwing that hard again. But, you know, you watch the game in that sense. I mean, I love the game. You miss the game.
Yeah.
And sometimes it drives you nuts. I mean, even when we played, probably the guys before us, like, I can't believe that Nelson's doing this. And so it's always a give and take with everybody.
Okay, so let's get back. We'll wrap up and just the ALCS.
Yeah.
So who's winning this series? I think I heard you make a Cubs prediction going all the way.
Well, my original predictions were out and down the toilet.
Yes.
So
with this series, ALCS, Blue Jays or Indians?
Well, I'm going to say Blue Jays only because they have the better rotation. I like how the Indians play, and they're a very scrappy team. I just don't think, even though they have a better bullpen, I think their starting rotation, over a seven-game series, their starting rotation, I think, will wind up showing some holes, because you can't continue at this time of the year.
Yeah.
I don't care how good your bullpen is. Your arm is worn out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you try to do whatever you can to get up for that game. But because they don't have the rotation besides Kluber to go deep into the game and give you six or seven innings, they'll wind up losing because the Blue Jays have a better rotation. Their bullpen's not as good. And plus, when you're talking about when your arm's tired at this part of the year, when you start making mistakes, you can make mistakes against Cleveland, and they may not hurt you as bad, maybe get you a single. You make a mistake against the Blue Jays, and they're taking you out of the park.
All right. Well, there you have it. My prediction, I'm just going to counter you just because that's more fun for me.
Yeah, of course.
But I think the bullpen is going to play a significant role for the Indians, obviously.
Good or bad?
Good. I think it's going to take them to the World Series against the Cubs, but I think that they are going to be so gassed.
So Miller's got to throw two innings every single game.
Yeah. I think Andrew Miller is going to be the
hero. Nice part of it is it'll be the first time in the American League that we've seen this. You know, the Blue Jays, what, 93, and the Indians since 48?
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So either way, I think it's going to be a great series.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
It wasn't exciting, but I'm glad to be here and bear through it. Well, as far as you know.
Okay.
No.
Right.